Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
So last night I'm meandering around social media, and Joe Salavea, the Oregon Ducks defensive line coach, posts a video. Caught my attention. Mario Cristobal's in the background, head coach, but listen to Salavea.
Today, identify, recognize the energy drainer, stay away from the vampires. Do not allow everybody to steal your joy. You harness it, have passion and energy in everything that you do, all right? And surround yourself with people that will push, that will demand, that will challenge you so that you can grow spiritually, as a personal, and professionally. Here we go. From the family, that family to you. Boom!
Joe Salavea did that on Twitter. I tweeted it, and somebody said, you know, that's from John Gordon's best-selling book, The Energy Bus. So I reached out this morning to John Gordon, author of Stay Positive, The Energy Bus. He has talked to Fortune 500 companies. He's a graduate of Cornell University. He's a teacher and a consultant and an author and a podcaster, and he's joining us now. You're busy, man.
I am busy, but I'm thankful to be on with you.
I am grateful that you had time for us. I heard that the energy bus, Joe. What does it mean to you when you hear somebody quoting from one of your books like that?
Oh, it means a lot. And I had the chance to speak to Oregon during training camp and really fell in love with those guys and the program and just the coaching staff and just love what they're all about.
When you are talking to a team versus maybe talking to a Fortune 500 company, how different is the messaging?
Same principles. Maybe the messaging is a little different. For a corporation, I'll talk for about an hour. I share principles and stories, and they laugh. You know, with football players, you know you're not going to get laughed. So you just have to go in with the principle, the fire, the passion, and really bring it to life for them in a way that means something to them. I've worked with Clemson football for the past 8 years. I worked with the Rams the last 3 years when Sean McVay took over. I worked with the Atlanta Falcons when Mike Smith was a rookie coach and Matt Ryan was a rookie. Worked with them for 7 years. So I had the opportunity to work with a lot of different teams. The Miami Heat the last few years. So I get to see different teams in sports and business. Going to the Texas Rangers this week on Friday, I'll be speaking to them. And so the same principles, though, apply.
Let's start with the energy bus. Like when you say energy vampire, what are we talking about?
An energy vampire is someone who tries to drain your energy. They are miserable. They are negative. They just suck the life right out of you and your team. And you cannot allow the energy vampires to sabotage your team. You know, Gandhi said, "I will not let anyone walk through my mind with their dirty feet." Well, you don't want to allow energy vampires to walk through your mind with their dirty feet, and you don't want to allow them to steal your energy and your joy. And, you know, if you have one person who's negative, you know, one person can't make a team, but one person could break a team. So, you know, with the energy bus, it's all about making sure that you fuel your team with positive energy and you address the negativity that exists. You know, it's not Pollyanna. This is like, okay, we got some negativity, and we're going to address it, and we're going to make sure that we don't allow one person to sabotage our team. And when you do that, you really get a more positive team that allows you to have more success.
John Gordon, author, speaker, is our guest on the show. The University of Minnesota, it talks about, you know, utilizing the power of a positive team. And that's your book, and they took a deep dive on it. What do you mean by utilizing the power?
Yeah, they did. They read the book together. They talked about it every week. They really embraced the principles. The power of a positive team is what makes great teams great. So the power comes when a team is connected and committed. When you are connected, you will be more committed. And then that commitment is about we before me, putting the team first. It also comes from a team that's optimistic and positive, right? Belief. Do we believe that we can win? Leadership is a transfer of belief, and positive teams are collectively contagious and optimistic, and they overcome the negativity. They overcome the challenges. They overcome the adversity that every team will face on their journey to have a great season. So it doesn't happen overnight, but I have found that there really is a power of a positive team that is purposeful, has a shared vision. They come together, they're connected, they're committed, they care about each other, and also they are pursuing excellence together. We can't forget excellence.
We go back to college. You're a lacrosse player in college. Were you looking around at that time and recognizing some of this stuff, or do you look back now and go, hey, in that locker room, we had harnessed this, but maybe we missed on this other facet?
That's a great question. So when I played lacrosse in college at Cornell University, we were ninth in the country. And sophomore year, great program. By the time I was a senior, we lost our way. My coach, the Hall of Fame, is named after him, Richie Moran. And we had Richie Moran's first losing season ever as a senior. And so I learned so many lessons looking back, but I did not realize it at the time. Like, we were divided. We weren't connected. We were more interested in our fraternities and our friends and our teammates. And so we were really divided. We weren't as great as we could have been. And so I learned so much looking back, but I wish I knew these things then that I know now.
It's funny with me because I'll go into like a coffee shop or a gym situation and people go, there's the sports guy. And they will come over and they want to talk with me. I got to think you're in that situation and you have people bringing their life baggage to you. What's that like for you to be the guy everyone goes to?
I enjoy it because my mission is to encourage and inspire as many people as possible, one person at a time. And so I came up with this mission in 2006. And I said, you know what, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And I didn't know that it was going to lead to all of this. I just knew I wanted to make a difference, and my life was miserable before this. And I really never reached the potential that I wanted because I was so self-focused. And once I made this my mission to help others and make a difference, that's when all these things started happening. So I wrote The Energy Bus in 2006, came out in 2007. Think about it, the book's been out now for 13 years, which is crazy. And it was a Wall Street Journal bestseller last week. So I guess it's a testament to just being true to your principles and what you do. And I love it. So I always say when I'm speaking, if you have a challenge, if you have an issue, you can reach out to me. I always give my number to the players. I don't charge. Just reach out. I'm here for you. I'm here to encourage you if you're going through a challenge. Jacob Breland got injured, right? I reached out to him and really have kept in touch with him because he is such a great guy. An amazing guy. And I know he's going to succeed. He's going to overcome this. So just love to encourage people who are going through difficult times. I know it's my purpose.
When you walk into that locker room setting or that team room setting, you know, you have a finite amount of time to reach guys. And you've written so many books. Like, I was looking at the list of books from The Energy Bus to The Carpenter to The Positive Dog to The Hard Hat. And I was like, well, where do you start? What do you do when you have to kind of whittle down that message to fit like an hour or 2 hours that you're going to spend with this team?
You focus on what matters most. I mean, with Oregon, it was like, okay, coach, what are the challenges? What are we going through? Where are we as a team? And I've done it so much now, I really understand what message that team needs at that time. So you really focus on that message. For some teams, it's about being a craftsman or a craftswoman, if it's a woman's team, on how to be great at what you do. My favorite is Training Camp, What the Best Do Better Than Everyone Else. That's my favorite book that I've written. And that's a lot of fun to talk about these principles that really drive the best and make someone the best. And so that's a lot of fun. The Energy Bus is all about positivity and coming together as a team. But lately I've been giving a lot of talks about the power of positive leadership and the power of a positive team and what makes a great team great. So I love to share it, and then the team understands, okay, we have to do these things if we want to be a great team. So I'll share like 5 or 6 principles. Usually it takes about 30 minutes for a team, 30 to 40 minutes for a team. Then I do Q&A. And then if I'm speaking to a company, like I said, it's often like often an hour. But most of my time is really with corporations and schools and healthcare, and sports is just more of like a passion that I get to do a lot. Some teams during training camp or spring training is when I pretty much work with teams, or I'll speak to the entire athletic department and all of their athletes, which is what I love to do, reach all the athletes and all the coaches in one visit.
John Gordon, our guest, coach, mentor, best-selling author and speaker. You have a lot of people who have families who are listening or own small businesses. I always feel like those same principles of successful businesses can be applied to successful families. What advice do you give to people who want to take one thing from your message home to their family? What's that one thing you can give them now?
Best thing you can do with your family, and I did this with my family at the advice of a good friend, Dan Britton, is I started a family meeting. So every week we'd have a family meeting where we'd sit around the table, and some people call this dinner, but so often you're busy with life, and you may not even have time to just have dinner together if your kids play sports and stuff like that, like mine did. And so you have a family meeting once a week. You talk about your family mission statement, talk about the challenges you're going through each week and how you can overcome them. You give ideas to each other. You pick a word for the year as a family. Each member of the family picks a word that they're going to use to give them meaning and mission, passion and purpose. I also do this with sports teams, and everyone picks a word. It's a lot of fun to talk about how you're living your word on an ongoing basis. And we found out things about our kids and what they were going through just by communicating in this way. So I think for a family, it's really important. And my wife and I just wrote a book called Relationship Grit. Comes out in the spring, so it's not even out now, but it is about our ups and downs as a couple and the mistakes we made and what we learned and how we grew together, how she almost left me years ago because I was so negative. And so we tell that story in the arc of the principles that helped us stay strong over time. And so, yeah, I'm really big on helping families as well. And that's the thing. You read the Energy Bus. It's not just for a team. You take it home with your family. Stay positive together. Start communicating together. Make sure you take time to connect. Show each other you care. It's really basic principles, but we often forget the basics, just like we forget the fundamentals in sports.
It's interesting because as I look at the teams that you and the companies that you consult with, some of these are successful when you walk in and maybe you're just fine-tuning. Others feel lost. You know, there's some teams that you've worked with and I'm like, wow, he's working with them. They really need him. When you walk in the door, can you feel that in the room? Can you tell if a business or a team is lost?
Yes, totally. I can totally tell. Listen, when you've been to the best and you've experienced the best, you now can see when others are not quite there. So I can walk into any culture. I can meet any coach. I can tell if this coach is going to actually be a successful coach or not. You know, I've worked with the best. So you can just tell. No GM should call me more. They don't, but they should call. Or owners of companies, owners of sports teams. Because I literally can predict. But you do see if they have a great culture or not, and you can tell when you know it. You know, I worked with Snapchat, and it was funny because, you know, Evan Spiegel, the founder, CEO, was just on my podcast. And I had him on, and we were talking, and he brought me in about a year and a half ago. And they were going through a lot of difficulty with, you know, Instagram coming after him, and the media was coming after him, and the market was coming after him, you know, and Wall Street. And he said, John, we really just got to stay positive. Like, you know, I'm like, so what do you want me to talk about? He's like, help us stay positive. It was literally, that was it. Like, help us stay positive. So I met with him and his leadership team. We talked about these principles of leadership. Leadership is a transfer of belief and just the ways that they could stay positive. Sure enough, they did it. And over the last year and a half, you can see how they weren't looking outside at the media anymore. They weren't looking at their competition. They were just focusing on themselves, what they can control. And then you see the success they've had. So sometimes it's fun going in with a company that's has success, but then they just need a little bit of a shift, and you help them with that. Again, being at Oregon, you know, you see what Coach is building there, and Mario's got, I mean, it's like a family there. I mean, they're on the right track. I thought they were going to go to the national championship last year. I really did. And again, a game away, a play away, the Auburn game just killed me. I mean, I was rooting for Oregon so hard. I mean, it just killed me because, like, you know, we should have won that game. But, you know, those things happen. I think they make you hungrier. And then you see a team that's going to go to the next level, I truly believe, next year.
We're talking to John Gordon, best-selling author. The book that Joe Salavea and the Ducks had focused on was The Energy Bus. They said, stay away from the vampires. On your blog, on your website, you write that life is like a roller coaster. And you really sort of frame it in that you got to enjoy the ride, even the downs. What do you mean by that?
I also say it's like it's a marathon or a sprint. I actually say it's a series of sprints combined with a boxing match. So it's that and a roller coaster. So when you are riding the ride, right, you got to make sure that you enjoy it. You're going to have challenges. Every family will have challenges. I'm having challenges with, you know, my family. Everyone has challenges. So it's about how do we overcome those challenges to enjoy the ride that we're meant to enjoy and meant to live? And I think part of it is knowing that life is full of challenges. You look at the hero in every movie, every great movie, the hero has to overcome something, some conflict, some adversity. And without struggle, right, there's no reward. Without obstacles and challenges, there's no victory along the way. So you have to have the challenge in order to have the victory. It's part of the story.
John Gordon with us. I really appreciate what you do in talking with companies and sharing some of that with us. Of all the books you've read, if somebody's just finding you for the first time today, where do they start? That's because I'm looking at this list of books and I'm like, okay, what's chapter one?
I would always say start with The Energy Bus. It's pretty much the first book I wrote. It's the most popular by far. And I think it's a great introduction into principles that allow you to live a more positive life and then help you spread that to your team and your family. That's where pretty much most people start and find me. But like I said, TrainCast, my favorite, but I would start with The Energy Bus.
Where are you today? Where's your journey?
So I'm in Florida today. I was just speaking literally in about four different cities, and I just got home. I'm here for a couple of days, and then I go off again to Texas to speak to the High School Coaches Association there. Then I'm going to Seattle to speak to a big event in Seattle. And then I fly to Florida to speak in Orlando. And I fly back to Phoenix to speak to the Texas Rangers. And then I'll be in L.A. because we have a place in L.A. So that's where we spend a decent amount of time on the West Coast.
You know,
I can't wait to come to Oregon. I've been told I need to come there during the summer, besides training camp, but actually to spend some time there. I heard it's like the most beautiful place on earth.
Yeah, we'd love to have you in studio when you swing through. It'd be awesome to have you. And by the way, Major League Baseball needs you, man.
What's going on, right?
Well, yeah.
You got to look at that and you got to say, okay, you won a trophy, but was it worth your reputation? And I think we need to understand that when you do things the right way with integrity, when you win, you can actually enjoy that success. You can enjoy that win. I just spoke in Baton Rouge, and it was this big public event. And it was funny because I'm a Clemson guy. I worked with Clemson the last 8 years. And talking about that team, though, they did things, you know, the right way. They won. Yes, I was upset Clemson lost, but at the same time, LSU did things the right way. Great coach, great leadership, and they got the win. And you know what? In many ways, they deserved it. And Dabo said, hey, you got to tip your hat to them. It was their time. We're going to come back next year. We're going to get even better. So, like, he's excited about that, but he also tipped his hat to that team. You win the right way, and people respect you, and they admire you for doing it the right way.
John Gordon, I appreciate you. Thank you for giving us time.
Hey, thanks for having me. Take care.
All right, there he is, the author of The Energy Bus. You can tell, like, he is all the flying that he's doing around the country. That's exhausting just hearing him talk about it. So now we've heard from Greg Bell earlier in the show. I'm curious to get Adriana and Peter's perspective on this. So you heard from Greg Bell earlier. You heard from John Gordon. There's some crossover. There's, like, if we're doing a Venn diagram of these two guys, there's some positivity, positive energy. Don't let the vampires get you. What's going well? Like, there's some crossover there.
I would be really interested to know if we ever have either one of them on again. Like, how do they pull themselves out of their own personal, like, hardships? Because I know that there are some days where, like, doing that job is probably so exhausting.
I've talked to, people who are therapists or pastors because they're dealing with everybody's junk all the time. But he said, I mean, Gordon said he kind of likes being that guy. He likes being the motivation. But you're right. How is it when you're going through your own stuff, when you want to put your headphones on and you don't want anybody to bother you? What is it like to deal with that? Peter, has this Friday been more cheerful than a normal Friday?
It's normal Friday, but there is a lot of crossover, though. You're right. And the thing is, it's not focusing on the outcome. What I get from both of them is it's focusing on the process and embracing the process. And that's really how you get to where you want to be.
Here's another thing, too, because I thought about with both guys. Gordon talked about writing The Energy Bus years ago. And it's the book that everybody brings up and everybody wants to talk to him about. He's written like 20 books since then. Greg Bell, Water the Bamboo. Now he's got, you know, What's Going Well. But everybody still wants to talk about Water the Bamboo. I wonder, like, there's got to be part of them because both of those books are like bestsellers. Both of those books, they must be making like checks just showing up, like for the amount of books that these guys are selling. But at the same time, you kind of want to be known for your new stuff. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I've got something that I've done more lately, you know?
I feel like a lot of artists and even some like athletes and stuff are known for what they got famous for in the past, and it is kind of harder. So I think that, you know, that's relatable to a lot of different popular people.
It's like when Elton John has a concert, he wants to play his new stuff, and everybody's going, no, man, no, I want to hear classics. I want the good stuff. How many times does he sing this? It's a little bit funny. What's your guess? It's Jelly Beans in a Jar. Remember, we had a producer one time broke down in tears and played this song. Remember? Remember that?
I remember that.
I love him. He's a good heart. But you can you imagine how many times... And Elton John's got to play it like it's the first time anybody's ever heard it, because you never know. Like, and he's like, "Well, I got a new song. You want to hear it?" No, no, no. You know, Billy Joel, play Piano Man for us. Play Piano Man. No.
At least both of those guys have multiple hits. Imagine being like Bachman, Turner Overdrive playing the State Fair. All they want to hear is Taking Care of Business.
I had Sean Mullins on. I went to see Sean Mullins and then tried to get him on the show because he did the Rockabye song. You remember? You know the song? Could you sing it a little bit?
I cannot, but come yes, on. I remember the song.
Do you know the song, Rockabye?
I think so, but I'm not about to sing it.
Why not?
Because.
Yeah, Sean Mullins came to Portland, and I was like, okay, this is a guy who's got like some kind of affinity with the Oregon coast. And he had a new song that was called Shimmer that he wanted to do, and it's not even Rockabye. I think the song's called Lullaby, isn't it? Isn't it? But it says Rockabye in it. But anyway, I'll play a clip from it. But he wanted to play his new stuff. But then he was like, I'm going to play my hit. And not my hits. He said, I'm going to play my hit. And then everybody started cheering because it was like. Children of the stars. In the Hollywood Hills and the Boulevard. Her parents threw big parties. Everyone was there. They hung out with folks like Dennis Hopper and Bob Seger and Sonny and Cher. She feels safe now in this bar on Fairfax. You know that song? Everybody knows the chorus.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard this part of the song before.
It's the beginning of it. It's the part you're not paying attention to. But he had another song called Shimmer. It was pretty good. But I was like, no, no, no. Everybody wants to hear a Lullaby, but it's called... We also saw him down at, can't even remember the name of the theater. It's in Southeast. I'm looking at Peter because I know Peter would know it.
Aladdin?
Yeah, it was the Aladdin. I think. I don't know where I was. But I saw him, and when I was in line, there was a lady behind me in line. And she had just seen him the night before in Eugene. And I was like, wait a minute. You saw him in Eugene? Now you're seeing him in Portland? And she was like, this is my 80th time seeing him. Now, I had remembered him with long hair as a young man who had this great hit, Lullaby. It's called Lullaby. We all think it's Rockabye, but it's Lullaby. And he got up and he was not a young man anymore. And in fact, his girlfriend was selling T-shirts in the lobby and CDs. He was sleeping in the van, he said, and just going city to city. He had several guitars, and at one point he broke a string, and he had to stop the concert and be like, I gotta, you know, restring this thing. But you know what else got me? He had no, like, there was no backup. There was no drummer. It was him and a guitar. His voice was awesome. And I thought, wow, like, why did he only have one hit? Like, there has to be more to it than he just had that one song. Here's that Shimmer song I was talking about.
Sharing with us what he knows. His shining eyes are big and blue. And all around him, water flows. This world to him is new. This world to him is new.
You heard that one?
Probably. I don't. It's not ringing a bell.
The shimmer, he's born to shine. He's born to radiate. He's born to live. He's born to love. But we will teach him how to hate.
So he's singing about racism. He's singing about, like, you have to teach him how to hate if he's going to hate. He's talking about little kids being born. I thought it was a great song, but I was like, nobody's ever heard this? Have you ever heard it?
No.
It's a good song. You should check it out. You'd like it. You're rolling your eyes. It's not for you.
The style. Maybe the message, but not the style.
Yeah, because it doesn't have a bunch of dun, 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 laser show. And,
no,
you know.
Not even.
Play a song you like. After the break, a song you like that you think that Peter and I would like. Do you have something?
I mean, I could think about it.
From one of, like, from your, I know who you're talking about. Your preferred artist. Is it still your bass beehive guy?
No.
Nectar?
No.
Nectar Maker?
No.
Whatever his name is. What's his name?
Bass Nectar.
Bass Nectar. That's no longer your thing?
It's my gym thing, but.
Oh, yeah. Wow. This is exciting. So do you have something new?
I listen to a lot of things.
But not Sean Mullins.
No.
Because it's too folksy for you.
It's a little country, yeah.
It's not country. It's folk music,
man. It kind of sounds country.
It's when you had a guitar and you had a voice and that's all you had. And you sat on the porch and you sang a song. You had to have lyrics. There's no light show. There's no glow sticks. She's getting irritated. She was having a good day until I started talking music. Leave it here. The 2 at 2 is coming up. Adriana, are you? You were having a good day till I started talking music.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna play any of my music for y'all. I've
Why?
Decided because every song that I've gone to look up is not appropriate for radio. Oh. Even the clean versions. It's just
there's no.
I just don't feel like, you know, ruining the vibes of the show.
Okay, but why did I think you were just the Bass Nectar person?
I don't know. You maybe have a closed mind about my music taste.
But that is your person. When I said, like, who should we get on the show?
Yeah.
You said old Bass Nectar.
He is still my person. I still love him very much,
Can you explain that fascination? Like, because I'll be in Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament. They have DJs that are playing at every club. Explain to me what makes one DJ different than another, because it feels to me like they're maybe ripping each other off or playing the same stuff.
I mean, it's kind of hard to see from an outsider's perspective, but when you're in the scene, you can really tell and pick up on their different styles and their influences. Bass Nectar has a lot of, like, heavy metal past and, like, deep house past, and so in, like, 90s rave style influence.
Like that?
Sure.
I know why you don't like folk music. It has words. I actually could ride the bike to this or run to this. I actually, like, I get why you listen to it.
This is my gym music, for sure. But I also like jam bands, though, like Phish and the Dead and, like, String Cheese, stuff like that. So you're wrong about the fact that, well, I mean, those songs don't really have a lot of words either, but they do have words.
What's your anthem? Like, if you were, let's say, you've talked about being a UFC MMA fighter one day, and if... if we had to do, like, a anthem for you, What music are you playing when you're coming out? Like, Deontay Wilder's going to have music Saturday night when he comes out in Vegas.
I mean, it would probably be like a Bass Nectar song, because that's the kind of thing that gets me amped up, and like I said, like my gym music. That's the kind of stuff. It wouldn't be something like R&B, which in my downtime I usually do just listen to R&B.
So we would get something like we'd see it something like this. It would be a little. I have to get it right. Oh well, I was gonna do Let's Get Ready to Rumble and all that.
For the heavyweight championship of the world, are you ready? Are you ready for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world? Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Does that not just get your head bobbing or what? You ready to fight?
Yeah, I'm ready to fight right now. That got me ready to fight. All right. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. I want you to give me your anthem. If you were a team, what's your favorite song that you hear when you go into a sporting arena, or you have a team that's coming out, or if you're a boxer and you're fighting, what's the greatest sports arena song in history? Because she is proposing, Alabama Adriana being she, proposing...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.